Welcome to the Canon Cantina, a Star Wars show where we try to answer the question, who is Luke Skywalker? My name is Jesse, and I'm here with my co-host Mike, and we are back. We're back. We're back in the saddle again, I suppose, Mike. We're out of the summer slowdown. We are in the beginnings of fall, sorta.
Yeah, we're out of the summer slowdown and into the fall scheduling conflicts and rotating illnesses that prevent us from recording as often as we'd like to.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I spent a lot of time with my cousin's kids and I got very ill. So that's a thing. Getting sick from kids. I've heard of that, Mike. I'm sure you have yourself.
No, never. Never happened once.
So, but we're here and we're back in the canon. So we're going to recap real quick what we talked about last week. If you happen to miss our episode, we have a lot of good things planned for you guys leading up to the Rise of Skywalker around Christmas time. So basically now till Christmas, we have a lot planned on the show to get you ready for Rise of Skywalker, get you hyped. And a lot of that, Mike, if in fact all of it now that we've gone through the Dark Empire Revisited, other than maybe a couple things we might have planned on the side, is going to be canon-focused content.
Yeah, that's right. the revisit we did to Dark Empire last week.
That's right.
Was just like a... like our last chance, really, just because we're running out of time to really do legend stuff.
We might have one more thing planned, but we'll see. We'll see.
We have it planned, but I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up not happening either, just because we have such limited time and so much
stuff. Canon.
Canon stuff, and like The Mandalorian coming out and all that stuff.
So much.
Wouldn't be surprised if that one gets pushed back. So those of you that were hoping we would like somehow cram all of the new Jedi Order into like 4 weeks before Rise of Skywalker, sorry, that's going to get bumped to next year. I won't get out of doing it, but we'll be able
to do it
without the time crunch of getting it done before episode 9.
Well, and truthfully, Mike, despite new Jedi Order being so important in the Legends timeline, we're not even there yet. We've got a lot of crap to get through before we even get to the good stuff of the new Jedi Order, in my opinion. So
and that's the podcast optimist saying right. We got a lot of crap to get through before.
We got a lot of early 90s Star Trek filler, Star Wars, to get to, you know, where they kind of got their feet going in the early 2000s in Legends. But before we get to that, I mean, last week we had Dark Empire Revisited. We're pretty proud of that episode. Number one, because we can reference it later how wrong or right we are about the Rise of Skywalker Dark Empire correlations.
That's right. So if you're not familiar with Dark Empire, if you haven't listened to our other episodes about it, that's okay. It's been like a year since we talked about it.
You should listen to the new episode, though. Yeah, for sure.
It was a 90s Dark Horse comic about the return of Palpatine.
That's right.
And as soon as we saw that trailer at Star Wars Celebration, we're like, well, we got to go back and talk about this. We ended up waiting until after two trailers were out, but we went back and sort of recapped the story of Dark Empire, but we were trying to draw some direct connections between what we saw in the trailers.
That's right.
And
parallels.
Parallels to Dark Empire and ways they could take some of the better legend stuff of Dark Empire and make it canon again. Maybe some plausible like connections to new Palpatine now that we know he's back. And I think I even said as much at the end of that episode. Probably everything we talked about is going to end up being proven completely wrong. But
sure.
In that episode last week, who knows? They seemed pretty reasonable. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I'd say there's, as I think I said on the same moment, Mike, on the episode, I think there's going to be several things that are at least likely or partially likely. And so we might get some of those things right. But if you haven't checked that episode out yet, please do. If you're intimidated by a title of something you don't recognize in Star Wars, it's something quite old now, something that Mike and I grew up on cassette tape format. That's going to tell you how old it is. You should check out that episode. We did a lot of work on that episode, and it'll give you a crash course in Dark Empire. And also, Mike, I got to mention, we not only referenced the comic of Dark Empire, but the audiobook of Dark Empire, which is straight dialogue from the comic, but it's actually acted by actors, which brings a whole new element to the Dark Empire story, in my opinion, is the superior form of the story to the comic. Because it's those guys and girls did a really good job bringing those characters to life, and they actually sound like Palpatine, Luke, Leia, Han. It's kind of amazing. And of course, Lando, because it's actually Billy D. So we added some little treats last week. We added audio clips from the audio drama into the episode as well. I may have added some modern Star Wars music, as in not from 1994, post that to the clips as well, as in prequels and sequels music, or you know, regular original trilogy into those things, which is kind of awesome. So that's a treat. Definitely check that episode out. Let us know what you think about these crazy speculation. We will return to this in the future, Mike. I presume in January, see how wrong we were, you know. So that could be fun. And it leads to my next thing, Mike, the hashtag 100 Days of Skywalker. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we had this great, brilliant, stupid idea to try and post a moment from the Skywalker saga, all of the canon sources, so mostly films, but also Clone Wars and some other things.
Of course.
Counting down 100 days out from the release of Rise of Skywalker on December 19th. I think the day that we're recording this, we just posted our last moment from episode one.
Sure.
We've opened up for suggestions from episode two, but honestly, if you have a moment from any of the films or canon comics or cartoons that you feel is an important part of the Skywalker saga, or it just meant a lot to you and you want like us to share it, just send us a message. Facebook,
please, Twitter, do
Instagram, whatever. Like, tell us why it was special to you. We'll share it, give you a shout out and everything. Because we want this to be more than just something that we do. If that's what it comes down to, yeah, we're ready to talk about 100 days of the Skywalker saga, but we want
so
to get
good.
More people involved.
That's right. So just send us your favorite moments, or just follow us at the Canon Cantina on all of our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We will be posting these daily posts. Once again, we are getting you excited and hyped for The Rise of Skywalker. So not only will the show lead you down a path to get you ready for the movie, but our social media will every day post something, which is going to fill in the gaps between our show as well, Mike. So, and I'm glad you mentioned, Mike, the chronological aspect. We're doing that. We're doing basically chronological through the Star Wars Skywalker timeline the best we can, the most accurate we can. So you can kind of live out the story of, you know, little Anakin all the way to Rey and Kylo, sort of, and just experience all of that in a fun way. So, and we would happy to... You guys just follow and check that stuff out and retweet it, or add your own when appropriate. So
that's right. So we've put it off long enough. Let's go ahead and get ready to jump into today's topic. We are continuing our coverage of the current Marvel Comics Star Wars line.
That's right.
With the next arc called The Escape.
Well, what happened last time, Mike? It's been a little bit. Last time was really good.
Yeah, last time was pretty good. We'd seen Leia and crew like amass a giant Mon Calamari fleet.
That's right.
Get double crossed by Queen Trios of Shutoran. Darth Vader shows up, destroys most of the ships. They just only have a few left.
Barely make
Han
it out.
Han is separated from the Falcon. That's one of the more emotional bits from the last.
Yeah, it was
that we talked about. We know that the current Star Wars comic line is going to end in early December, and reading this story arc just makes me think, you know, maybe it's time, because this is one of the worst abominations I've ever read in the new.
Whoa. Yeah. There's a lot of these filler stories.
Noodle scooting back in.
Oh no.
Heir to the Jedi. That's what it's called, right? Yeah. Heir to the Jedi.
Hearn.
It's on that level bad.
So Kevin Hearn. Yeah. Well,
he may as well have written this.
Yeah, this is rough. Once again, Mike, this seems like them dragging their feet and doing filler to buy time, which is not good, because I want more. I want to get closer to that Empire timeline. It seems like they are intentionally slowing down before that. But before we get into the plot, before we get into the story, before we get into the character arcs, let's talk about our Luke-centric questions. So the first question today, Mike, on this story, of course, it's canon. So it's what state is Luke in as he begins his journey?
I'll give you a spoiler. The answer to that first question is just embarrassing.
Right.
The second one,
yeah.
How do the events and characters he encounters impact his development as a hero? And then the last one, is this consistent with the character as presented in films, current Marvel comics, and new canon books and sources? You ready to do this?
Let's go.
Ever since Luke disappeared, people have been looking for him.
We've passed on all we know.
A lot of rumors, stories.
And I became a legend.
People that know him best.
Luke.
Young Skywalker.
Luke.
It's all true.
I am a Jedi. Like my father before me.
All of it.
1,000 generations live in you now.
All right, Jesse. Mm-hmm. What state is Luke in as we begin this journey through the arc of the escape?
He's down on his luck with Han and Leia. That's really a simple. That's
like the nicest way you can put that. He's down on his knees with Han and Leia, hiding under a table in
a bar. Yeah.
While stormtroopers are searching for them, while Han's former fake wife / girlfriend, Son of Staros, is covering for them, saying, "No, there's nobody sitting under the tablecloth here."
That's right. That's where we're at. So this is a strange point to start the story, but you know, it's showing the Empire is looking for Han, Luke, and Leia, and they even show the stormtroopers that come up to Sana even have a holographic image of their faces. So of course now we in the canon we know for sure the Empire knows all of their faces and looking for them. That's kind of interesting here, but that's about it. We have a weird just Sana, what do you want to call it here? Just tricking the stormtroopers, and then dirty Han, Luke, and Leia. And I don't. That's not a euphemism or something. This is they're very dirty. They haven't showered since the assault on the Mon Cala fleet. They've been in hiding. They haven't had the Falcon, so they don't have access to their clothes. They're wearing the same clothes every day. I don't know. This is where they're at.
Yeah. So they're trying to ultimately regroup with the Alliance fleet and hoping that Sana can give them a ride.
Right.
And as they are traveling through the Dene Goyis cluster, which looks like an asteroid field,
yep.
They encounter an Imperial Star Destroyer. And Sana's like, "Look, I'm just going to dump you in an escape pod on this habitable moon so that when they scan me, they're not going to come after you or whatever." And that's what she does. Like, she dumps the heroes.
Well, and they're like, "What moon?" And she's like, "I'm familiar with it. It's called Huban." And she's like, "Do you know Huban?" And Han's like, "Of course I know it, but go ahead and explain it to me."
But you tell them anyway. Yeah.
And she explains basically that it's an isolationist world. It's not part of the Empire or, you know, the Rebellion or the Resistance, that sort of thing going on. It's its own little place. And, you know, she says, "Get going, do it, and you guys will make do." So she sends them the escape pods. Once again, remember, Sana's ship looks very similar to a Corellian freighter, kind of like the Falcon. To
half of the Falcon.
Exactly. Like
the back half.
It's like the back half of the Falcon with the cockpit right in the middle. And we got some really cool shots here of her shooting the escape pod down to this planet. And all we see of this planet at the beginning, Mike, is it's a forested world with thunderstorms. And they land, and of course, they are attacked by a giant Star Wars bear, which
bear like werewolf kind of thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like a giant it's good. That's a good reference, Mike. It's kind of like a giant Wolverine or something. They run from it. They're fighting it. They're trying to fight it. They're probably gonna die, and then the locals come and save them. Now I gotta mention here, the way the locals look in this first shot is pretty cool.
It is. It's like if you crossed Mandalorians with the Spartans from Halo, kind of.
That's right.
Is kind of what their armor looks like.
And they ask him why they're on Cuban, and Han, Luke, and Leia say, we're stranded. And they're like, oh, we'll make you comfortable here. And you're like, what? And then, you're led to believe some time passes. And then we see them on the, I presume the town or city. We don't know yet. It just says later. And Han, Luke, and Leia are now cleaned up, sitting at a table, being served drinks by a droid. And this is actually pretty, this is fun because Han is throwing out all of his favorite cocktails to this droid.
My goodness, that got old real fast.
He just, Han's just like wants to relax this whole story, do nothing else, apparently. So yeah,
he thinks he's on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
So this is where the point where I'll say, if you are familiar with the term a bottle episode,
yep,
of TV, and I know you are, more for the listeners, an episode that takes place entirely in one room or setting in, if not a continuous take, just like a continuous amount of time, we basically have a bottle comic arc here.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good way to say it, yeah.
Because
separate from the greater narrative and plot, too, right, in a major way. Like,
yeah, so like one of the more famous examples of a bottle episode comes from Breaking Bad, mm-hmm. season 4, I think, called The Fly,
of course.
Walt is trapped in his giant new meth lab trying to track down and kill a fly. It's a very entertaining episode, and when done right, bottle episodes are awesome.
That was an awesome one, yeah.
And when done poorly, they're very annoying. And this one is stretched out over too many issues and is, in my opinion, not great.
Yeah, and Mike, I this reminds me of a poorly done Star Trek episode or a poorly done Star Trek movie, say perhaps Star Trek Insurrection, something where it's just the characters are completely taken out of the main story. They're dropped on a planet, meet some new people, but they never leave the planet till the very end. And this sort of like nothing changes the characters' arcs. You know, nothing changes the major plot of the story with the Empire or Vader or anything, or what we're led to believe now, Shutoran, which we might see more of that later. But I'm just, It's strange, and something this comic does, Mike, a lot is it keeps saying later, like later. A couple days, a couple hours, we don't know, but basically Han, Luke, and Leia get brought into the main palace of this city town. We still don't know what it is yet, and they meet the prime minister. I don't know what you call him. He's kind of the liaison of this this village moon on this moon. And his name is Thane Markona. He's a guy with long, dark hair. He dresses nice, and he's very suave, and he acts like royalty, even though he doesn't really manage a lot of people. So,
And what we find is that this moon, Huben, was settled by the Markona clan,
basically. Right.
They intended for it to be isolationist, and they get a visit once every 6 months from like a trader who brings them goods that they need and things like that.
Yeah. And they trade with them.
When Han, Luke, and Leia arrive, they're like, oh, he came last month. You're going to have to wait like 5 months for this guy.
Gross.
So when we say ball episode, they are literally stranded here because they took an escape pod from Sana's ship here. They have no way of leaving the planet. And like, well, I guess we're stuck here at this fancy, I'm going to say space plantation without like the slavery connotation,
but
it's like a fancy house and farmland and stuff with it. It really is kind of like a space plantation.
Yeah. There's giant like droid looking things that are windmills but you know, let's mention, so we met Thane. He's kind of the king of this. He's kind of like the Ezekiel and the Walking
Calvin
Dead.
Candy.
There you go. Oh no. This reminded me a lot of the Kingdom and the Walking Dead comics.
That's true.
Ezekiel with his tiger leading the group, and there are a lot of farmlands. And then he, of course, has a beautiful daughter that Luke immediately starts falling for, because this is what we have Luke in this story. Her name is, let me get this right, is Tula Markona. So there we go. I just keep thinking of Tula Mordu, the Irish whiskey. So Han goes to the bar. Luke spends time with Tula. and Leia goes off on her own for a little while. Luke and Tula talk about...
Not for a little while. What you just said basically describes what happens for like 3 months on this planet. Leia isolates herself. Han and Luke don't really know what she's doing.
Han goes to the bar and meets the locals.
Han is at the bar a lot. And Luke is trying to figure out what the deal is with Thane Marcona and why your group of warriors decided to exile themselves here. I remember when this came out, because if you look Comixology page 40, this is where we see shirtless Han with an axe chopping wood, because there's no money here. So for Han to keep drinking at the bar, he has to go do work. So he decides to chop wood.
Yeah.
I remember when this going around social media.
Super weird.
It's super weird. Not that Han is like chopping wood without a shirt on, but it's the
Han is shredded. Han is shredded in this. That's super weird too. I mean, Harrison was in great shape, but he wasn't like 300 Spartan shredded. That's just weird. Well, it's like overly sexualized.
Comic overly sexualized. Never. But we still have that Guru EFX doing like the coloring for these for these issues. And it's gotten better since those first arcs where the faces were so weird. But shirtless Han mixed with the pseudo Harrison face is
strange.
Unsettling.
Right.
To say the least.
So Luke is hanging out with Tula in this, and then he starts hanging out with her dad, Thane. Interesting moment of him and Tula's first hanging out is she's asking about the battle of the Death Star. Was the Death Star real? And Luke says it was real. It's gone. Rebel fighters took it down.
I guess we should say that they are trying to suppress their identities somewhat. They're only going by their first names.
Yeah, they're not saying they're heroes of the Rebellion.
It's clear very early on that Thane knows who they are.
Right. Luke and Thane are hanging out, going on a walk, talking about the kingdom here. And then they encounter the werewolf bears. And then we have a long, drawn-out scene where Thane suddenly has wrist gauntlets come out with blades on them. And then Luke pulls out his lightsaber, and they fend off the bears from killing farmers. It's a fine scene. There's several of them. But it's just... It's once again filling time. We have a Luke heroic moment where he's doing a dumb thing and he grabs onto one of the backs of one of the bears and gets stuck there essentially. And it's running really fast. Han and Leia are in a disagreement, which is pretty standard. And then Luke stabs the bear in the back. And, you know, then of course Tula sees Luke's lightsaber and she says it reminds her of her grandmother's lightsaber, which is an interesting talking point, I guess, for them.
You're right. I had forgotten that since I read that. There is some Jedi lineage here with the warrior Marcona clan, which is kind of neat.
Yeah. They're clearly not Jedi or Sith. I mean, they're kind of like maybe more like Chirrut Inways. They're kind of light side.
They're not Mandalorian either, even though they kind of have similar armor.
Yeah, they're kind of like light side force sensitives. That's what we're led to believe in their past, right? That's what she meant by her grandmother. And then, of course, we have a weird scene coming up of super ripped Thane fighting super ripped Luke. like practicing melee weapons. Luke's using his lightsaber and Thane's using an energy shield. Once again, I'm not sure why.
So I'm going to speed this up through this because this entire arc is so stupid.
Well, Han and Leia have more.
While they are isolated, talks. Han and Leia flirt. And when they're not doing that, Leia is isolated in her room and we don't know why immediately. Luke is leveling up, I suppose, in his, hand-to-hand combat skills.
Yeah.
Thane is training him in how to use a lightsaber.
Once again, a lot of Luke training in hand-to-hand in these comics. The tournament master.
Trying to explain how he was able to go toe-to-toe with Vader in Empire Strikes Back, I guess. We do eventually learn through Luke's impatience. The entire time, Luke wants to get off this planet and back to the fleet.
Yeah.
That's why he's trying to bother Thane so much.
He's like, people are dying.
We learn what Leia's been up to. She's come up with a plan to destroy Queen Triosa and Shu Torun forever.
Oh my, is what I said.
Like a mega sabotage mission. Han was just trying to hang out and drink and get with Leia.
Right.
while all this was going on. But as soon as we get that reveal of what Leia's been up to, an Imperial shuttle lands on the planet.
There you go. And we have some reoccurring characters reappear, Mike. Reoccurring characters, of course, of this comic, not Vader, Scar Squadron. It's been some time since we saw them, but they have kind of been pursuing our heroes.
Stormtrooper Commando Advanced Recon, I think, is what that stands for.
Yeah, they're that. They're like the Halo Reach team, right? There's the sniper, there's the heavy, there's the commander, there's the, you know, there's all that.
Demolitions,
yeah. So they're cool. They're still cool. The heavy guy, I still don't know. Is the heavy guy part android? What's the deal with him?
I'm not sure. He clearly looks like he was based off of like the old Dark Trooper design.
Definitely.
But it's not clear.
He's huge.
If it's just like a cybernetically enhanced suit, but we've got Sergeant Creel, the leader of Scar Squadron, who has a green lightsaber that I can't even remember how he's pilfered that before.
He killed a Jedi or something. Yeah.
But when they land, we assume that, oh no, Luke screwed up because in secret, Luke was trying to build a transmitter to contact the Rebel fleet to get them off of this planet.
That's right. That's pretty Luke's interesting to our show.
And a naive farm boy. Thane, knew what he was doing, jammed his signal. He's like, no, this isn't your fault. They found us some other way. And it turns out that Scar Squadron had been tailing Sana Staros, and they have her as a hostage, and she led them here.
Right. But I do like that Luke bit of him being impatient. That's what we see in Empire too. That is pretty interesting. How does the events and characters encounter develop him as a hero? Well, Thane actually saved Luke there through his impatience, but this is definitely consistent with the Luke we see presented in the films of New Hope and Empire, because he's like, we have to go back to the fleet. People are dying. You know, we were ambushed. Did even Ackbar make it out? You know, he's freaking out because he wants to go save everybody. So let's keep speeding this along, Mike. You're right. Scar Squadron caught Han's ex-wife, and she basically took them there. They have a conflict here. There's a lot going on here, Mike. Essentially, Thane's daughter, Tula, turns on Luke and Leia, or turns on Leia and Han, should I say, saying it's the code of Marcona to essentially let the Empire do things, but they're still not part of helping them, but they're not basically getting in their way, I guess is how they said it. She's got a gun pointed at Luke. And this is kind of where we're at. We have Thane and we have Scar Squadron and Luke.
It's all like royal family bloodline, BS. Scar Squadron, you're our guests, blah, blah, blah. You have to just fight him in formal combat. I don't know. This entire thing is stupid. It ends up with Thane somehow convincing Creel to get into a lightsaber fight with Luke.
Right.
In which Thane... Marcona is like, I've known Luke for 5 months now. I know his heart. He's like a true hero. So I'm going to try and hold off Scar Squadron so they can escape.
Also, Tula and Luke. Let's not forget about that.
She reveals to Luke. Girlfriend that Luke does not get killed. One of the changes we get from Legends to canon.
Yeah, she reveals to Luke that she only shot Han and Leia to keep up appearances. She slides something into his jacket and, she says you have to escape through the woods and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, Luke.
I can tell. This is a terribly disjointed recap. And I apologize, listeners, but it's a terribly disjointed and just not very well told story.
Yeah. Too. So I don't think our recap's that disjointed. We're just kind of reading it as it is. But, you know, Luke and Thane have kind of their last interaction. He's basically saying, Thane's saying to Luke, I need to see who you really were. I need to see who the heroes of the rebellion really were. I knew you were with the rebellion, but I didn't trust the rebellion because we've been away from the conflict for so long. I saw the Empire was at the Death Star. I wanted to see who the rebellion was through the three of you. And I did see who the rebellion was. That's a pretty cool moment. We get to see, he's basically been as you said, Mike, he's known the whole time. He's been watching the three of them, the characteristics of the rebellion. And he basically says, go leave the planet. I'll hold them off. He does the hero thing.
And he does hold them off, but it requires Scar Squadron to not act like an elite stormtrooper commando unit, because everybody just goes and steals their giant shuttle.
That's right. Which
they forgot to lock, apparently.
While Thane is distracting Star Squadron and fighting them, Luke, Han, and Leia, is what you're saying, right? Steal the shuttle. And, of course, there's a torture droid on there, Dr. Ball. Love that. Little side note. Sana destroys it immediately. And or Tula, maybe. Either one of them. I'm not sure. But
it was Sana.
But yeah. Tula's with them, right, Mike? And they all escape. You know, and then the rest.
But Sana destroys it because it's the one that got the location out of it.
So the rest of the story is a completely different art style, which threw me for a huge loop, Mike. Huge loop. Yep. I'm not saying it's bad. I actually think it's more unique in some ways than the regular art style. But then we kind of jump forward again in time, and we have Tula leading Clan Marcona off the shuttle against Imperials, right? And then we have Han, Leia, Sana escaping. Anything else that's worth mentioning?
I mean, they escape. They supposedly abandon Scar Squadron there for a few months. They make it back to the fleet. Han gets reunited with Chewie and the Falcon.
It's an awesome reuniting, yeah.
Yeah, like this was
Akbar. Akbar.
Akbar has had the Falcon on home one with Chewie this whole time. I think I'm comfortable in saying this has been the worst arc of the Star Wars comics so far.
And there was a bad one in there. There was a really bad one in there.
There are a couple other weak ones in there towards the beginning. Like I said, I know that may not have been the most coherent storytelling if you're hearing this and have not read the comic. It's just kind of that bad.
Well, it's like
the story itself isn't great, and we're just kind of trying to go through it because it's not even that fun to talk about. Because our heroes get stranded for 5 months on a farm planet.
Right, and they end up exactly where they left. They retreated from Akbar's fleet that was being destroyed. They got almost caught by the Empire, landed on a planet, almost got caught by the Empire again, and then made it back to Akbar's fleet, which was left.
I guess, like, to our second question, Luke is impacted because Thane Marcona like levels him up in his lightsaber fighting ability.
Yeah, so gets a girlfriend, sort of.
He does develop as a hero. He sort of has, they kiss like once and she doesn't die. So that's an improvement over like Luke's girlfriends from Dark Empire 2 and some other legend sources.
Or even canon.
Or even
Heir to the Jedi. Yeah, Heir to the Jedi.
But then our third question, is this consistent with Luke as presented in films, the current comics, and new canon books? I don't know. This whole extended bottle episode thing is just weird to me. And it feels very un-Star Wars, like you said, like a weird Star Trek episode.
Yeah, just to fill time.
I don't even know if I can say yes or no to that last question.
Well, and truthfully, Mike, the most important thing that happens in this episode is all Leia, because it ends with Leia talking to Akbar saying, we're going to destroy Shutoran. And Akbar is saying, Leia, your anger, like, we can't waste forces on a vendetta with your anger. And Leia's like, no, we're doing it. It's a small-scale sabotage mission, and we're going to destroy them from the inside out. I'm ready. And then, of course, we end with Scar Squadron finding Leia's plans for Shutoran. So, Scar Squadron. So, like, the real story here was the major arc that, okay, most of Akbar's fleet was destroyed, but home one's around. Leia has a plan to get, Queen Trios back, but Scar Squadron is right on their tail. And, you know, we did have some good Luke moments where he learns a couple things. But Han and Leia didn't really do a lot, you know. I mean,
so this ends with issue 61. We know that this comic line ends early December with issue 75. So we are right there.
We're catching up.
Like I said earlier, it's time for this comic story
to end.
Because this is bad, man.
This is bad.
I've like kind of stood up for new canon.
Yes, you have. The bad stuff.
I've not stood up for Heir to the Jedi. Don't you put that.
No, that's true. No one does.
But this is pretty bad.
It's dragging its feet too. Like it's not doing anything.
Well, and to just kind of tie this into a little bit of news, we do know now that the last issue that's going to wrap up not just Star Wars, but the Dr. Aphra line and Target Vader is called Empire Ascendant.
That's right.
And it's going to come out in the first week or two of December. So it's one mega-sized comic that's supposedly wrapping up three storylines, which is kind of cool. It should lead us right into Empire Strikes Back, if that's where they pick up.
Yeah.
Next year after Rise of Skywalker comes out, we're still not 100% sure about that.
Fingers crossed we'll get that new canon Shadows of the Empire comic. We'll see. Something like that, you know, filling that gap between Empire and Jedi, that couple months of time, which is not very much, as opposed to years, right?
As long as Dash Rendar is not in it, I'm okay with that.
Can't guarantee that, Mike. Can't guarantee that. Can't. So this is, we will return to the Marvel Comics very soon because we're going to finish all these up before Rise of Skywalker. Did you read this? What'd you think about it? Let us know. We did not enjoy this, obviously.
If we were way off base, let us know. And maybe we missed something, but obviously neither of us enjoyed this one very much.
Right. Which is truly a shame after we've really enjoyed the last couple, because I remember Mike up to the last couple, we were having trouble too. Those weren't very enjoyable, but then the last couple were pretty good. We have the Ocean's 11, Mon Cala stuff. We had the Mon Cala stuff. Then we had the fleet, Hope Dies. We had a lot of good stuff. Not this arc. So hopefully the next Leia's plan on Shootoran seems a lot more interesting. I'm looking forward to that. So hopefully we will get there. But that's it for our main story today. But we got to talk about the Patreon. If you'd like to help the show out, go to www.patreon.com. That is patreon.com/thecanoncantina to sign up for one of our support tiers. What Patreon is, I've said it before, is an opt-in monthly subscription to help our show. You're basically saying, I'm giving you guys a couple bucks to help you pay your bills and help you create this content. We really appreciate that. We have several tiers and you get the other podcast feed, The Secret Stash, which is stuff that's not even about Star Wars at all, usually, which is great. And we talk about a lot of things there, Mike. And of course, we've got to mention our weekly producer credit, our every episode producer credit to Rob, because Rob is our only producer. And he gets a mention every episode.
That's right. And even if it's just because he forgot to turn off his monthly donation, he still gets that shout out.
he earns it.
Thank you, Rob. We haven't talked about it in a couple of weeks, but we do have a few things up on TeePublic. Just search for the Canon Cantina on TeePublic. We have a few like T-shirt designs and some stickers up there. We're going to be updating those here in the near-ish future.
Yeah.
But if you are interested in some of our old stuff, go take a look there.
Yes. A lot of people said the hoodies especially are very high quality. We have T-shirts, hoodies, notebooks, stickers, all kinds of good stuff, and a couple logo designs. Check that out. We would love for you just to have our merch out in the world. But, Mike, we get to leave the Patreon right now. And we get to return to a segment we have not been to in quite some time. That is the Djarik table.
Let's do it.
Think. You want to make that move. You want to make that move. You made that move. Okay.
I guess I'll have to destroy that little guy.
Somehow I never get bored with winning. No, you can't wipe them off. They're holograms. Hey, Chewie, relax. Hey.
So we're back on the Djarik table today. This is very exciting. We got more Star Wars gaming news. No tabletop stuff today, even though Mike and I have probably some more things to talk about with Outer Rim, X-Wing, and Legion. That'll be in a future episode, potentially. But we're going to talk about Battlefront 2. It's been quite some time since we talked about Battlefront 2. They are still updating this game, Mike. Still a lot. Every month, there's some sort of major update, or at least a cosmetic update. So the month of August, they brought in some new maps for Heroes vs. Villains. They brought in, which completely shocked me. All new appearances for the Separatist battle droids. I assume they would just stand with the standard colors. You've got different stripes and squads that you can customize your battle droids with now, and they added a different, different and improved spawning for the game. But let's talk about the month of September. They've got a lot coming. The thing I'm most excited about for is they have a brand new map for Battlefront 2. Once again, this is all free content. It is potentially my favorite prequel world, Felucia, and that is the very colorful world that we see in Revenge of the Sith and we see in Clone Wars numerous amounts of times with the Felucia farmers. And apparently the scenario on the map is built around that episode arc in Clone Wars where the clones are holding out against the giant Trade Federation and separatist armies. They're protecting the farmers with a small clone squadron. That is awesome. That's one of my personal favorite maps. It's just that's where Aayla Secura dies, right? And the Revenge of the Sith. Mm-hmm. That is the super vibrant, what I like to call aquarium planet, but with no water. It's like a giant a fish aquarium. Terrarium, yeah, there you go,
is the word you're looking
right
for.
Well, I mean more just the plants and stuff. We got neon underwater plants, right, that are just on land and this sort of cool stuff. That's cool. But they're also dropping in the month of September, Mike, new reinforcement class, Clone Commandos. So that's something that, you know, a lot of people are nerding out about. One of the favorite Star Wars games, Star Wars Commando.
Republic Commando was a really good game.
Everybody loves it. It's a really good game, and those characters were loved, and those commando types were loved. We'll see what they do with that. They're also finally adding to the game large-scale single-player modes called Instant Action, which essentially is something I actually tried to do the other day, and I realized, oh yeah, the game doesn't have this. You've got those scenarios, those like mini scenarios where you play Kylo Ren and fight Resistance troopers and stuff, but like, you can't just go to Crait and do the Battle of Crait as Kylo Ren. Well, now you can. They're doing these large-scale single-player modes where you just jump into a battle or jump into a map and play single-player, so you don't have to be online. That's great if people don't have internet at the time or they just don't want to play online with all that stress. They just want to maybe have a fun time just enjoying a Star Wars battle, or do what I'm going to do, go to Felucia and just look around, those should be great. They also are adding a new PvE mode. Was not expecting this at all. They're adding a co-op mode where essentially you're fighting in these battles like Battle of Hoth with several friends against AI. That's really fun.
I'm all about that too. Too bad to play the other mode.
So that's what's happening all in September. That's a big month. But October through December, they're dropping. They haven't told what all these are, but new reinforcements. So I assume if they're adding the clone commandos, maybe some other commando type classes for other factions. Reinforcement appearances, different appearances, I assume, for commandos and other characters. New appearances for heroes. They're adding a special event to lead up to the Rise of Skywalker. We don't know what this is. What I'm assuming, Mike, what they did with The Last Jedi, where they released the Battle of Crait before The Last Jedi came out a couple weeks. I assume they're going to be dropping maybe something involving Pasana, maybe a map or something like that.
Solid guess.
That's a solid guess, or maybe some,
or maybe something. Kojima.
Kojima, that's right.
The snowy planet. We've seen a few scenes
from. So maybe they're dropping a new map and a new battle between the Resistance and the First Order, which would be great. Ooh.
Or maybe it's like a ground battle on the floating.
I thought of that. Death Star. That too. Would be.
I imagine that's like coming later into Heroes versus Villains or whatever.
They're probably going to save that. But they keep saying like we can't talk about all the content between October and December because I assume a lot of it leads to the Rise of Skywalker. But that's pretty cool. But yeah, man, we got a lot coming to the game. A lot. I mean, clone commandos, Felucia, co-op mode, large scale single player mode, and then of course all the content that's going to lead up to the Rise of Skywalker. So, in conjunction with our show and our 100 Days of Skywalker, we're doing on our social media. If you got Battlefront 2, make sure it's updated and maybe jump on every once in a while, play some games, get hyped for Rise of Skywalker.
That's right. Well, and speaking of playing games, we saw in the past week and a half, maybe two, that some old favorites from LucasArts re-released. These came out of nowhere on a Nintendo Direct, and it eventually came out that they're coming out on PlayStation 4 also. But Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Outcast,
oh my goodness, comes
out next week, September 24th,
wow, on
Nintendo Switch and PS4. And then early next year, the follow-up to that, Jedi Academy, is going to be released on Switch and PS4. And holy crap, this came out of nowhere, but we both loved both of these games. I played Jedi Outcast on the GameCube back in the day, and Jedi Academy on the PC. Jedi Academy was my first exposure to, like, the online competitive gaming scene.
Same.
Like, back when, quote, clans were a thing.
Yeah.
Back in, like, the pre-streaming days, I was definitely in a Jedi Academy siege clan. And I saw that the online modes are coming back with that game.
That is awesome.
So I don't know if some of these old groups are going to be, like, revived. So if anybody out there is listening that was part of the New Republic, which was my Jedi Academy clan back in the day, maybe we can all get back together. Who knows? But they say these games are coming out with, like, improved, like, updated controls for modern controllers and, like, lightsaber combat, updated-ish graphics, you know. It's not going to be, like, true HD. It's not like a remake, but they've made them look not so terrible.
It shocks me that they didn't do a remake, but maybe that was too much work and maybe they just wanted to churn it out.
You've seen how long this Final Fantasy VII true remake has taken.
Right.
That's with a studio that still exists. LucasArts doesn't exist anymore. This is taking an old game and finding a way to re-release it and just make it playable.
Yeah, I own all of these games on my PC, on Steam, and of course CD-ROM, which, you know, I use as coasters, but, you know, it's very exciting either way, Mike, that it's come around. These are some of my favorite games of all time. We've talked about on the show. I love the character of Kyle Katarn and Jan Ors a lot as well. So I'm excited. There's still a lot of Luke content in there that we will probably get to in the future, with Kyle and Luke encountering a lot of things, Jedi Outcast and Jedi Academy in the Legends world. But either way, it's exciting. And this is a great time, Mike, to mention our Twitch, twitch.tv/thecanoncantina. I know we mention it every week. We haven't streamed there in quite a while with our summer slowdown, but we are going to do our very best to stream potentially maybe some Jedi Outcast, maybe some Battlefront 2, and maybe some Star Wars Legion and other board games on that channel leading up to Rise of Skywalker. We really want to make that a thing that we do on a consistent basis. That's one of our Patreon goals, actually, down the line, is when we get further along on the Patreon, to stream on a regular basis. Right now it's purely hobby / finding time from the regular show to do it, which is kind of hard to do because the regular show takes so much of our time and attention and money. So, but we want to do more streaming. I was really enjoying the Battlefront 2 streaming, Mike, a lot. So I want to get back to that with this new content.
Yeah, we were talking about that before we hit record tonight, trying to figure out the best ways for us to stream these, revisiting these games. I'm excited.
Yeah, just follow us on our Twitch, twitch.tv/thecanoncantina. Every time we go live, you'll get a notification, and the more followers we have, the better to just, you know, stream this content. But there we go.
Yeah, so the last segment we want to talk about today, we haven't done it in a while, it's a poll. Ooh. So we're going to revisit what that strange computer has to say.
Why didn't we just get into light speed? We can't. How would you know the hyperdrive is deactivated? The city's central computer told you. R2-D2, you know better than to trust a strange computer.
So I put this poll up a week ago or so, mainly just because something that had been bothering me for a long time, and I'd seen it through the Fantasy Flight Games X-Wing Miniatures game, I think through Armada, and just other sources too. But the sequel era Millennium Falcon, I keep seeing referred to as Rey's Millennium Falcon by fans and some of these official Star Wars sources. So I asked our listeners and Twitter followers if this bothered them as much as it does me. After the events of The Last Jedi, we know that Han has been killed, so it's no longer Han's Millennium Falcon. Who do you think is the rightful owner of the fastest hunk of junk in the galaxy? And our choices were Rey, as all these sources keep saying, Chewie, as is the correct answer, Lando, which is maybe the next correct
spiritual answer.
And then belongs to the Porgs now, which is maybe could be like the factual answer if that infestation from the Last Jedi spread.
Yeah, they're like bed bugs. They just keep.
I thought this would be more contentious, but overwhelmingly, almost 80% of everybody responded said, this is Chewie's Millennium
Falcon. That's right.
And you're goddamn right. It's Chewie's Millennium Falcon. Walter White here.
That's right. We had a lot of people voting this too, Mike. I love the poll participation. We hadn't gone to this strange computer in quite some time, and I'm glad you did this poll because we had a great response for this. We had a lot of votes, and it's Chewie's obviously the resounding winner because Chewie has waited a long time. I mean,
right? And it's not even like I'm holding this against Rey or Lando. I love Rey. You all know I love Lando. Lando legitimately, we'll put a little asterisk on there, lost the Falcon
right.
to Han.
Right.
And Rey never really inherited it from And Rey never really got the Falcon from Han because Chewie was driving her around like a dad
a
minivan all of the Last Jedi.
I've talked about it several times. Chewie the taxi driver, Chewie the Uber driver. Chewie deserves this. We got a great Chewie crate moment through the crystal mines, which was great. I want more. I want Chewie find the Falcon another time with Lando, of course. And I think,
which I'm sure we're getting because we saw that in the teaser.
100%.
We'll see how much of those two together.
Now, Mike, this leads to my next question, which of course is unplanned, but we're on the air here. It's like, I think we should do this poll again with the even more contentious question that involves Rey's ownership of something. Do you know what that is? Because that's been going all over the internet too for some time.
Are we talking about the
same? Yeah. I want to know what people think about that. Is that, and we don't have to wear our opinions on the sleeve or anything, but that's also another interesting question because that saber's been passed down so many times through the Skywalker lineage.
I'm going to say she owns at least half of
it. Right. Right. But another poll we probably should do, is it Anakin's? Is it Luke's? Is it Rey's? Is it somebody else's? We will look into that as well.
Well, see that one to me. We'll see if this is reflected in the poll whenever we put it. You got to be alive to own it.
Oh, Ray's man.
The last one left alive.
Well,
I guess you could say it's between her and Ben.
But you can get technical.
Anakin's
here.
Got no use for it now.
It's true. It's and it gets complicated too, right? Because it's like Anakin made it. Luke inherited it from his dad. Rey inherited from Luke, I suppose. So, but like Rey still hasn't made her lightsaber, and I really would like to see that.
I think we did see that. It's red and it flips around and has two sides.
Right, it's like a temple.
Who knows what's gonna
temple guard yeah. saber? Right. We will see. That might be the next poll. Please follow us on our social media to participate in these polls. So that leads us to the outro of the show. Like Mike, I feel like this was an interesting episode. Not as good as our Dark Empire episode. I think you should listen to that last week.
Yeah, this wasn't great.
We struggled.
This is one of the pitfalls of dedicating like an episode
to content.
To a story arc.
Yeah.
Sometimes these story arcs are bad. And that's what we ran into today.
But I'm excited, Mike, because we got people caught up on the show's schedule. We talked about the Dajarik table, things coming. And we also talked about our plan with 100 Days of Skywalker. So I'm going to plug that again here. Follow us on all of our social media at the Canon Cantina. Check out the hashtag 100 Days of Skywalker. That's just 100, as in the numbers, Days of Skywalker, all one hashtag, of course. And add your own to that and check out ours. Retweet our stuff if you feel like you enjoy the posts we do and participate in that. We're going to basically tout this every week for a little while to get this going.
We got through the first 10 days without missing anything. We're going to do our best to not miss a day.
90 more days.
90. We're 1/10 of the way there.
That's right, man. So please participate by just following us on our social media and just checking that stuff out. We want you guys to enjoy the chronological Skywalker story, or at least the moments that matter to us, to get you ready for the movie. But of course, the Canon Cantina, the show that you're listening to right now, is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, Podcast Addict, YouTube, and Spotify. If we're not on something, let us know. We'll add it. We did that recently with Breaker. We did some other things like that. There's some other podcast apps that we pop in and out of. If you're not on your preferred podcast app, let us know. And of course, Mike, we mentioned it earlier, follow us on twitch.tv/thecannoncantina for our streams. We will resume our live podcast streams soon as well on top of the gaming. And ideally, Mike, around December, we're going to do some pretty cool stuff with the stream, but we can't talk about that yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, so just make sure you subscribe, rate, and review to the show. If you think we can do something better, send us an email to canoncantina@gmail.com. Yeah, so sorry the story wasn't great, but we still had a good time talking about it.
Yeah, we certainly did.
Here in the Canon Cantina. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Cheers.
May the Force be with you.
Boring conversation anyway.